Heavenly Father, we come before you with a quiet heart. We want to follow the very footsteps of Mary, for she has chosen what cannot be taken away from her. We would like to learn from her footsteps and come to you with a gentle heart, with a quiet heart. And I pray, O Lord, that you speak to your servant first of all, and then speak through him to your children, and so that although the God that we believe is an invisible God, but through what you have done, through what we have heard, we can virtually see our great God, and knowing that you are almighty. And through the mighty healing that you have done in the life of Joshua, we acknowledge that you are a great God. And within that 5 days, you have done great things. You hear the prayer of a righteous man, and you deliver him. And I pray, O Lord, that through this deliverance, and he submit to you to follow you every step of his way, all the days of his life. Lord, I also pray for the future of Etta, Joyce, Sally, and Daniel. Guide them and watch over them, and set hedges around them. Send your mighty angel to protect them. Wherever they are, I pray that you guide them and fulfill the desire of their heart, and deliver them as they cry out to you. And I also pray that you place a crown of pure gold upon their head and welcome them with rich blessing. If they ask you for life, I pray that you give it to them, length of days forevermore. And I pray that we set aside the following time to your hand. I pray that you speak to each and every one of us and encourage us to walk in your step, not just we live by the Holy Spirit. We walk in step with the Holy Spirit, and by your Holy Spirit we enter into the heaven gate. And I pray that you help us to walk with the power of the Holy Spirit that you have given it to us. And I pray that you give us the spirit of revelation and understanding and wisdom, so that we can understand what you have to say to us. And more importantly, you haven't given us a spirit of timidity. You have given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline, and help us to walk in it so that we can see you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's take a look at the second chapter. I think the last time we finished chapter 2 was 13. Today is chapter 2, 14, all the way to the end. Joyce, you read, after you read 14 to 19, and Joyce read 20 to the end of it. 14 to 19, Etta.
Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value, and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teachings will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness.
In the large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must justly instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their sense and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will.
Okay. In verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. You know, why would Paul saying to Timothy, the pastor of Ephesus, keep reminding them of these things? Because we keep forgetting. So that's why, as a pastor, senior pastor Paul telling the young pastor, keep reminding the saint in Ephesus of these things. What? The first things. Warn them before God against quarreling about word. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Sometimes those who argue about word, thinking that he tried to fight a good fight, but in fact only ruin those who listen. Quarreling about word is the things we should stop. Now, quarreling about word is different form. Jude is the second last book, right before Revelation. In Jude, verse 3. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saint. In here, the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saint. Who are the saint? We Christians. God has entrusted the Word of God to us. That is the faith. Because faith comes from the message. Message comes from the Word of Christ. Remember that? The Word of Christ. If anything is not regarding faith, just talk about word. Don't bother arguing about word. But anything regarding faith in Jesus Christ, then you have to contend for the faith. You understand what I'm trying to say? So this, let me see whether there's any biblical illustration. Well, when I think of anyone, I will give it to you. He say, warn them before God against quarreling about word. It is of no value. You won't bring. You win the argument. You win the quarrel about word. You lose the soul. Because it only ruins those who listen. We win the soul of what was lost, not by calling about word. Okay? Verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handle the word of truth. You handle the word of truth correctly. You do not need to be ashamed of what you are preaching. Why? Because we know whom we believe. Sometimes, especially to your best friends, you don't want to upset your best friend, and when he tell you to stop talking about that, it will be very difficult for you to continue unless you gain more favor from him. I show you how to do it. If you want to share the gospel to your best friend, you really want your friends not to go to hell but to go to heaven, I think you have to sacrifice your time, your energy. First of all, you have to pray for him or pray for her. And secondly, you have to study the word of truth diligently so that you know how to handle the word of truth correctly. And you do not need to be ashamed of the gospel. Right beside, does not need to be ashamed. Right beside that, you write down Romans chapter 1. Take a look at what Paul's saying. What's the reason why Paul's saying this? Because at that time, Timothy was ashamed of the gospel. Because he suffered for the gospel. He didn't want to suffer anymore. He said, enough is enough. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul saying that, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Because the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. I want you to write down, right beside ashamed, you write down Romans 1:16. Paul saying that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then for the Gentile. Your friend will not be able to come to know Jesus unless they hear the gospel from you. If you are ashamed of the gospel and not preaching the gospel, not teaching the gospel, not correctly handle the word of truth, your friend will not be able to come to know Christ. So if you really want to save your friend, you got to understand the word of truth. And then you handle it correctly. You know what to say, and say exactly what the Bible wants you to say. Okay? And I find out nowadays, a lot of Christians, they are ashamed of the gospel. Have you ever seen people like go to the cafeteria, and you know that he's Christian, he just cover his head or whatever, touch that, and then say, I finished my prayer. You know what I mean? Just 1 or 2 seconds. Have you done that? Are you going to pray? Ask the Lord to say grace. Ask the Lord to cleanse the food and give you good health, give you wisdom and understanding. It takes a few seconds, right? So don't be ashamed of the gospel. I tell you one thing, if you're not ashamed of the gospel in front of your friend, in the future, when you are in need, you pray to God, God listens to you. Monday, when I go to a key called me. He said that Joshua at 3 o'clock going to be admitted to a hospital. I say, why? Because he was coughing really badly. He can't sleep since Sunday. So he's going to be admitted to the hospital. So I go to his house and talk to him. When we see the doctor, the specialist said that he passed the tilting point. That means he's only going downhill. He won't be getting better. And before the doctor said that, I spent time and talked to Joshua and asked Joshua to commit his life to our Lord God. Let God use him as a pastor. And so once again, he committed himself to God. And the Lord pulled him through. 5 days. He could have been dead. Do you know what Jack Layton? Do you know Jack Layton, NDP leader? He was admitted to the hospital. Within a week or so, he's gone. Okay? And I heard it really sad. Right beside, I think a day before he passed away, he called all the his followers to him, saying that in his deathbed he want to invite the gay pastor and all these homosexual people, or pastor of all religion, to come. He want to please everyone. He's ashamed of the gospel. You understand? If you are ashamed of the gospel, and Jesus Christ will be ashamed of you. Right beside Romans 1:6, I want you to write down Matthew chapter 10. And you have to be aware, we are in need of Jesus to bless us. Never, ever show your contempt of the gospel. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 to 33. I read that to you. Matthew 10, 32 to 33. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. And whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him. I will disown him before my Father in heaven. If you feel ashamed of the gospel, that means you do not acknowledge Jesus before men. And Jesus will also disregard of you before his heavenly Father. Whoever disowns Jesus before men, Jesus will disown him before his Father in heaven. 10:32-33. Make sure that we don't do that. Make sure we acknowledge him. Make sure that we feel proud of the gospel. Make sure that we share the gospel, especially to our friends. We want to see them. You know what happened? Let's say you go to heaven, Sally, and then you have a best friend, and he's going to go to hell. He look up to you, Sally, oh, how come you are there? I didn't know that you are a Christian. And he said, you never shared the gospel to me. How are you going to say to him? He said, no, I shared the gospel. A certain day you tell me to shut up, then he won't say anything. You know what I mean? Then he, you know what, even though I tell you to shut up, you shouldn't shut up because you know that I'm wrong. You understand what I'm trying to say? You keep sharing. Okay? Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Daniel? You know, same as Joyce, your good friend. You don't want them. You don't want to see them in hell, and you're in heaven, right? Yeah, don't do that. Remember, I tell the story. My brother Stephen, when I share the gospel, you know what he say? I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. I know them all already. I'm a Catholic. I say, you don't know about Jesus. And he kicked me out. You know, he kicked me out. And next day, because I'm his brother, I knock on his door. Next Sunday, he opened the door. He said, you want to come here for coffee? Yeah, you can come here. If you come here to share the gospel, I kick you out again. I said, I come here for coffee. After I drink the coffee, I share the gospel again. He kicked me out. 9 years like that. You know what did he say? The moment he come to know Christ, he say, you are my best brother. The best one. You remember I help you? I don't help you to teach. I don't help you to teach you engineering. But do you remember I help you to study, to work hard? You feel better now? Save you a lot of time. Am I right, Joyce? So, it will be difficult at that time. You say, wow, you know, I can't do what I like to do. But I think you will see the goodness of it. You see the benefit of it. You may not see it now. You will see it in the future. You know, that's why I'm saying, I don't give up. I keep praying for Etta so that you can get to a law school. I don't know when. I don't know how. Unless you give up. You don't give up, you can get in. You know, for sure. In my high school, I don't study that much. I'm very lazy. Fooling around, skip school, I regret. And when I see my classmate get into university, I can. You know, I turn around. But I wasted my time. My parents did not teach me how to study. And I turn around on my own. And I make it. And I say to myself, when I enter into engineering, I'm going to get scholarship. I'm going to get a gold medal. When I graduate, I get a gold medal. Remember I showed you the gold medal? So, I think we all can make it. It's a matter of, do I want to make it? If I want to make it, I'm going to spend time on it. You know, if you, like, you get the notes from Joyce, you read it ahead of time. And you watch the teacher, what they're teaching. You're going to score A. When you get into a university, you're going to get scholarship. You know what? When you study well at university, you gain confidence. You know that, yes, I can succeed in doing that if I prepare myself. This principle applies to all areas of your life. We all have to prepare ourselves before the exam. We all have to prepare ourselves before the final judgment, before Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? When you prepare ahead of time, you do well. You understand? The reason why we study in Bible, we want to know what God wants us to do, and we prepare ourselves. Okay? Never feel ashamed of the gospel. And sometime, you know, we face what our good friend has said to us. Shut up, and then we shut up, you know. So that's why Paul saying in verse 14, keep reminding them of this thing. Reminding, we forgot. Sometimes we listen to what our friend has said and not to say that. And your friend will say to you rudely, say, don't share that anymore. You know, he saw his anger to you. But you smile back, you know, and then say, okay. And then a week later you forgot. You know? Actually, you didn't forget, you pretend that you forgot. You know? Oh, okay. Yeah, you know I love you, you know. And then, you know, that's what friends all about, you know. I think, if I remember right, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loved at all times, you know. So love at all times, you need to sacrifice for your friends. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. What does it mean by a friend loves at all times? I tell you what a true love is all about. Right beside that, you write down Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 to 18. I want you to write down right beside love. A friend love at all times. You write Leviticus 19, 17 to 18. What is the definition of love? Is you're willing to sacrifice for your friends. You love your friends at all times. You're willing to sacrifice for your friend. What does it mean? Leviticus 19, 17 to 18. Do not hate your brother in your heart. What does it mean by I hate my brother in my heart? If you do not rebuke your brother friendly, so you will not share in his guilt. You're not willing to rebuke your brother. You're not willing to rebuild your friend. You're not willing to rebuild your neighbor friendly. That means you hate your brother. You hate your friend. You want him to go to hell. You rebuke him. You rebuild him friendly so that you will not share in his guilt. Why? Because God holds you accountable to his death. Where does it say? Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18 to 21. If your friend sins against God, you don't want him, you don't rebuild him, when he go to hell, God hold you accountable to that. But when you rebuild him friendly and he did not turn around, you free yourself from any guilt. God will not hold you accountable to that. So I want you to write it down so that you will not share in his guilt. Right beside Ezekiel 3:18. 21. What does it mean by love your brother? What does it mean by love your neighbor? When you rebuild your friend, rebuild your brother, rebuild your neighbor friendly, so that you will not share in his guilt, and when he asks you to shower, if he angry with you, you do not seek revenge. 18. Or bear a grudge against one of your people. He can say bad things against you, but you do not hold grudges. Bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You truly love your friends, you truly love your son, you truly love your parents, you truly love your neighbor, you truly love your brother, you will rebuild him friendly. The Bible says, do not hate your brother in your heart. What they mean by you hate him? You don't talk to him about the word of God. That means you hate him. You want him to go to hell. Okay? So, friend loves at all times. What does it mean by friends love at all times? That means friend rebuild your friends at all times, frankly. When he see you seems there's something wrong, he worship idol, you know that he's gonna go to hell. You tell him, stop doing that, don't do that. You go to hell. You remember I told you that's one of the fellow, his daughter is homosexual, lesbian, and saying to his father, and his father said, oh, it's okay to do that. He tried to comfort his daughter. No, it's not okay. If it's okay, at that time, she's 17. I asked, how old is she at that time? She's 17. She tell her father, I'm lesbian at the age of 17. And her father, as if so, oh, I accept you. It's okay. Try to comfort her. You know what? 18 years later, at the age of 35, she committed suicide because a conscience struck her. Although the father says, it's okay, But in reality, it's not okay. You understand what I'm trying to say? She killed herself. I say to that fellow, I say, if you hear your daughter saying to you that I'm lesbian, you should rescue her. Later on, she tried to numb her conscience. She take drugs. You understand? So one sins after another. First lesbian, and then drug addict. Later on, the drug cannot numb you 24/7. Right? After the effect of drugs gone, then you feel really bad. So she hung herself. You just look around. A lot of people live in this world in pain. Need us to comfort them. Not saying, oh, it's okay to be lesbian. Tell them to turn around and ask Jesus to help. You understand what I'm trying to say? But if you love your friend, you say, "Why? Well, I love my friend at all times." I say, it's okay. That means you let her to go to hell. That means you hate your friends. You should rebuild her frankly and lead her to Christ. When she's upset about what you say about the Word of God, you do not take revenge. You do not bear grudges. You say, it's okay to be upset with me. I know how you feel, but I love you. And she will turn around. You remember when I first asked you to turn around, not fooling around? You say, no, I can't do it. Engineering is difficult. You understand?
You never taught me the method of relying on God. It's more, you did it by your own strength, so I should be able to do it by my own strength too.
Mm-hmm.
But then you taught me to rely on God.
Yeah.
And I can do it.
We have to come to God. You know, we all say, I can't do it. I can't do it. Yes, you can do it. You remember Philippians chapter 4, verse 4:12? I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. 4:12 or 4:13? 4:13? I can't do it by myself, but I can do it through Him who gives me strength. Go to Jesus. Yes, we can do it. You know what? Once you experience the blessing of this promise, you can do virtually all things through Him who gives you strength. You know, rely upon your own strength, you can't do it, really. You'll be discouraged. You understand what I'm trying to say? So you say, I let myself down. I can't do it. But Jesus can do it. Bring your friend to Jesus. He's almighty. With man, it's impossible for us to do it. But with God, nothing is impossible. He's almighty. When Joshua was in difficulty, I helped him to turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't look at yourself. Don't look at your sickness, your weaknesses. Look at the strength of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ. If He's merciful to us, we can do it. You understand? So, okay. Keep going. A friend loves us all time. A brother is born for adversity. Now remember this 17:17 Proverbs. When your brother and sister are in difficulty, Sally, Daniel, Peter, when three of you, either one, are in difficulty, make sure you pray for the other two. Okay? Make sure. Remember 17:17. A brother or sister is born for adversity. When we are in trouble, I know someone will pray for me. I know I cannot do it by my own strength, I know that if I have done something wrong, someone going to remind me I'm wrong. I will turn around. Someone will rebuild me. You know what? If I turn right beside the rebuild, Leviticus 19, right beside the word rebuild, Leviticus 19, 17, right beside the word rebuild, you write down Proverbs, chapter 3, 11 to 12, chapter 1, 23. After I want you to read Ezekiel chapter 3, 18 to 21. You can say, oh, I don't know that my friend is wrong. Yes, you know. Based upon the word of God, you know. You don't rebuild him or her. You share in his guilt. You don't rebuild her. That means you hate her. When you rebuild her, that means you love her. What's the proof? In Proverbs 3, 11 to 12. 1 to 23. I want you to read the Sali, Proverbs 3, 11, 12. Daniel, Proverbs 1, 23. What's the reason why we build? Because we love them. What's the benefit of rebuilding? If I turn around for the rebuild, there's two benefits. The Lord will pour out His Spirit unto you and make His word known to you. So first of all, after I want you to read, Joyce, I want you to read Proverbs, I want you to read Leviticus 19, 17 to 18, and then Ezekiel 3, 18 to 21, after Sally, Proverbs 3, 11 to 12, Daniel, Proverbs 1, 23. All these, right beside we build, you write Proverbs 3, 11 to 12, Proverbs 1, 23, and then Ezekiel, right beside share in his guilt. Ezekiel 3:18 to 21. Joyce, you read it, Leviticus.
Do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you not share in his guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.
What is the true love of your neighbor? By rebuilding her. What's the true love of your neighbor? It's not to hate her. When she's angry with you, do not seek revenge. Do not bear grudges against one another. You accept it. Because we are like that too. If someone says something that we don't agree, you understand? But for our own good, we take it. Ezekiel 3:18 to 21.
When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak up to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable for his blood.
I hold you accountable for his blood. That means you will share in his guilt. Because you don't do what you're supposed to do. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, keep going.
But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself.
That means you will not share in his guilt. 20.
Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live, because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself.
How come he took warning? Because you rebuild your friend, frankly. You didn't do your part. God hold you accountable to them. You do your part, you're free. God cannot expect you to turn him around. But God expects you to rebuild frankly. To tell the truth. In love. In love means you do not hate it. You do not want him or her to go to hell. You understand? That's why the Bible says, do not hate your brother in your heart. You know, we don't read the scripture, we thought, oh, I don't say anything about that, then that means I love her, right? No, just the other way around. Proverbs 3:11 to 12.
My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke.
Do not resent his rebuke. Why?
Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in.
What happens if your father do not discipline you and rebuke you? That means he hates you. You understand? Even you go to hell. You know what? Joyce, at that time, if you're fooling around, I don't do anything about that. I say, oh, she'll grow up. Then you waste 1 year, you waste 2 years. You know what? Maybe by that time, you won't be in the third year engineering. You understand what I'm trying to say? I spare your hardship. I know what I've been going through. I wasn't hardworking before. I know it's pain in the neck, right? All my friends graduated already. I still did not make it. I feel really bad. And I thought I'm a loser, but I'm not. I'm not a loser, but I'm just lazy. I don't know what to do. No one helping me. You know, if you help your friend to lead him to the right path, he or she will be successful, I tell you. We are created in the image of God. You understand? But just that we don't know that. We thought we are loser. We are not a loser. We are overcomer. You understand? We were created in the image of God. God wants us to be like him. Through him, we'll be very, very powerful. We don't know that. We thought we are loser. We need someone to tell us we are not a loser. Okay, say to yourself, we are not a loser. Okay? Say to yourself, come on.
We are not a loser.
We are not a loser. We are overcomer. Okay? Okay, Proverbs 1:23. What happened if I turn around to your rebuke? What happened if I do not despise your discipline? And I take it very seriously and I turn around. I respond to your rebuke. What's the benefit? Two benefits.
If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and
instead of heart, the word spirit. I will pour out my spirit to you. Okay? Keep going.
If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my spirit to you and made my thoughts known to you.
Not thought. Make my words known to you. In other words, if I turn around, take your rebuke seriously, and I turn around and respond to it, you know what happened? I will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I, all of a sudden, I understand God's word. I know this is the right way to do. You know what? When you overcome that, in the future, you become a parent, you become a mother, you become a father, you know how to teach your son. Because you overcome that. You know what? If you don't overcome it, you say, wow, when I was your age, I'm a loser too. You know, wow, life has to be like that. Then you let your children to suffer for 2-3 years. Do you know what, ladies? Some people committed suicide. The hockey, what's the name? I forgot the name of that. The lady, within 4 months, that 4 hockey player committed suicide. Superficially, they get everything already. And why they committed suicide? Some are drug addicts. They become successful so easily, they don't know how to take it. A lot of people live in pain. If you know how to overcome pain and conquer that, then you can help a lot of people. You know what? When I was young, I've been bad before. If I don't turn around, become good, I don't know how to teach my daughter. I say, wow, I'm like that. What else can I say? Then you suffer and your children suffer. But you can spare the suffering of your children by helping them to come to Jesus and ask for help. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We need to study the God's word so that because he promised me if I respond to his rebuke, if I take his discipline seriously and I turn around, he promised me 2 things. That he will pour his spirit unto me, he make his word known to me. When I understand his word, I know what is ahead of me, and I will have a bright future. You understand? It's a win-win situation. not only you become overcomer, your children after you become overcomer, your friend will become overcomer. You know how to rescue them. When you become supervisor in your company, you know how to help your colleague, how to help your subordinate. You understand what I'm trying to say? Go back. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 14. Keep reminding them of this thing. Why keep reminding them? Because we keep forgetting. So we have to keep reminding. Warn them before God against quarreling about word. It is of no value, but only ruin those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handle the word of truth. You know what? If we don't understand Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves us all the time. You know, we thought, oh, love means you just cover the multitude of sin. You remember I mentioned that? First Peter chapter 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8 chapter 4 verse 8 above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. Is that means when you see your friend sins against God, you cover over a multitude of sins? No, that's not what it really means. That's not what it really means. If that is what it really means, it contradicts what Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17 and 18 say. It contradicts Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12 say. It contradicts Proverbs 1:23 say. Love covers a multitude of sins. Means, I want you to write it down right beside that. You write down James. 1 Peter, before 1 Peter is James. The last chapter of James. James chapter 5 verse 19 to 20. Right beside love cover a multitude of sins. Right beside that you write down James 5 19 to 20. You have to present yourself as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handle the word of truth. You need to understand the word of God so that you know how to help other people. What does it mean by above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins? The meaning of that is recorded in James chapter 5 verse 19 to 20. Etta, could you read that?
My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins.
That's what it really means. You love your friend? You love your friend when you see your friend wander away from the truth and no one turn him back? What is he heading? Heading to hell. You understand what I'm trying to say? So if you just read 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 8, you say, wow, Pastor John is strong, you know, he rebuild your friend, he's supposed to cover up over a multitude of sin, just cover it up. You know what? If your friend has cancer, you don't bring him to a medical doctor, especially, you cover up that, oh, no, he's okay, he has no cancer. That means you want him to die of cancer. You understand what I'm trying to say? What does it mean by love cover a multitude of sin? That means you turn him around. You turn him around, you bring him to Jesus. When Jesus forgive him, Jesus cover him all sins. You don't cover him sin. You bring him to Jesus so that Jesus cover his multitude of sins. You understand what I'm trying to say? You supposed to read James chapter 5 verse 19 before you go to read Peter chapter 4 verse 8. He expects you to read. Same as you don't jump the Bible to read. You know, you're supposed to read one chapter after another. You're supposed to read James first before you're supposed to read Peter. Peter is right after James. You're supposed to read Leviticus first too. You understand what I'm trying to say? With all this background, no way you handle the Word of God incorrectly. If you memorize God's Word, you'll be able to handle God's Word deeply. You love your brother deeply, not superficially. Superficially, you don't say anything about that. You know, you see a friend, he's a good friend, but he loves to drink. You see a good friend, he loves to smoke. You know that he's going to have lung cancer eventually. You know that he's going to be addicted to alcohol. You don't do anything about that. You know what? Can you imagine your friends like that? And he keep getting drunk. Using alcohol to numb his conscience, it won't help. He become alcoholic. And you know that Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, do not get drunk, because it leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You do not let alcohol control your life. You should let the Holy Spirit control your life. Alcohol won't help you. The Holy Spirit will help you. You should help your friend. Bring him to Jesus. And then Jesus will cover a multitude of his sins. That is what I mean by love cover a multitude of sins. By bringing your friend, turning him around, by rebuking him, by leading him to Jesus, by showing him the true way, the right way. I want you to read that one more time, 5:19-20.
My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins.
That's what we mean by love, cover a multitude of sins. Love, save your friend. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's the biblical understanding of what God's love is all about. Hey, if Jesus say, "Oh, John, I love you, I cover your sin," but and then he don't deal with my sin, and I'm still controlled by sin, I still wander away from the truth, and he didn't bring me back, what good does it do? I'm still alcoholic. You understand what I'm trying to say? You're not loving your friend this way. Do I make myself clear? Keep reminding them of this thing. Warn them before God against quarreling about word. It is of no value, but only ruin those who listen. But do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handle the word of truth. Correctly handle the word of truth can save a lot of people's life. You know what? On Monday at around 3:30, we go to the Cross Cancer Hospital with William, Kilam, myself, and Moses, and also the intern of the doctor. First of all, the intern see Joshua and ask Joshua a question, and he said that he see the x-ray film saying that your lung is full of fluid. That's why you're choking to death. You can't breathe normally until the specialist come. And until the specialist who read the x-ray film, he say, no, there's no fluid there. You just have lymph node, the cancer there causing you to death. You see, one is not correctly handled the x-ray. He didn't know how to interpret the film. Same as in the Bible, if you do not handle the word correctly, you can misdiagnosis. You can say, okay, now you go to the emergency room, let me suck up the fluid there. And you end up sucking up the blood because there's no fluid inside. You know, if we call ourselves Christian and we don't handle the Word of God correctly, you just read the Word of God superficially, say love above all. Love cover a multitude of sins. So saying, now I sin with Bill, my friend, I just love him, cover him up, you know. Don't talk about that. You know what I mean? And then he go to hell. He, in the judgment seat of Christ, he pointing finger to Sally. Sally, why are you doing that to me? I said, I'm sorry. I thought chapter 4, verse 8, love, cover, multitude of sin. I see that you sin against God. You know, I know that you're wrong, but I don't know. I thought I'm doing the right thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? But you're doing just the opposite. We should present ourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handled the word of truth. Two things an approved worker should do. First of all, does not need to be ashamed of the gospel. You're not ashamed of the word of God, because the word of God, the gospel, can save life. Just like what Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, but the gospel is the power of God. The gospel can save the life of those who believe in God. First to the Jews, then to the Gentile. Right? But the gospel cannot save those who do not believe. You have to acknowledge that. You cannot force your friend to believe, but you have to be patient. Sometimes you fight back. You remember you fight back, Joyce? You say, I can't do it. You know what I mean? Right? I'm impossible to do it. I say, yes, you can do it. You turn around, ask God, He will help you to do it. You remember in the first year you're not serving, but the second year you start serving, and your mark is getting better. Better than you're not serving. You know, not only that, when you start working, you're serving, the Lord will promote you. You honor the Lord going to honor you in front of your boss. He's going to set you apart. You try that. You experience that kind of blessing, then you know how to help the other people. He said, how can it be? You know, when I start serving, I don't have that much time to study. Yes, I know that. But God gave you wisdom and understanding. When you listen to your professor lecture, all of a sudden you understand everything he said. When you do assignment, you do very quick. You do very well too. Especially in the exam, you remember everything he said. You know what I mean? Who gave you wisdom? God. It's amazing. You really have to try, you know. It's hard to tell if you have no experience of that. Once you get that experience, you say, I know what you mean, Pastor John. I've been there before. I experienced, I tasted. Right? 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handled the word of truth. Who does not need to be ashamed of the word of truth? Some people are ashamed of the word of truth. You know why? Ashamed of the word of truth. When I tell the word of truth, people are going to hate me. I want you to write down right beside the word of truth, Galatians 4:16. Galatians 4:16. Edek, can you find it?
Yeah.
And read it to me. Galatians 4:16.
Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth?
So that's why people are ashamed of the word of truth, because when you tell the word of truth, people become your enemy. Because I don't want to be an enemy of my friend. I love my friend. You tell her, I love you. I don't want to be your enemy. The reason why I tell you, I want to rescue you. I don't want you to go to hell. You know what I mean? I want you, other than you write down Galatians 4:16, I want you to write down Gospel of John, chapter 8:40. Right beside the word of truth. Chapter 8, verse 40. Could you read it?
As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things.
Say it again.
As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things.
If Jesus Christ did not tell the word of truth to the Pharisee, they wouldn't kill him. If you don't tell the word of truth to your friend, he won't hate you. He won't become your enemy. Sometimes when your friend tells you the truth, you become upset too. Aren't you supposed to love me a friend's love at all times? A friend's cover a multitude of sins, right? Isn't that heard what the Bible says? Some pastor, they don't interpret the scripture correctly, do not handle the word of truth correctly, and say it out, just say 4:8, 1 Peter 4:8, did not even read James chapter 5, 19 to 20. You understand what I'm trying to say? Some people misunderstood you. Right? But you tell them the truth. Jesus loved sinner. Tell the truth to Pharisee, and then they want to kill him. And Paul tell the truth to the Galatians and become their enemy. And a servant cannot be greater than a master. A student cannot be greater than a teacher. If our teacher, if our Savior Jesus Christ, if our Lord Jesus Christ teach the word of truth and become enemy of the hearer, you think when you tell the truth to your friend, he won't hate you? You just prepare yourself and willing to sacrifice for your friend and love her. That is love. That's a biblical kind of love. It's a sacrificial love. And you do not bear a grudge. You do not take revenge. You do not feel disappointed. Because you know you've been there before. You overcome that already. You understand? We are all sinners. We've been there before. When people tell us the truth. I still remember when someone first tell the truth to me. I tell them about Buddha. You tell me about Jesus Christ. I'm a proud man. I've been there before. I know how you feel. I know what's your response. I was there before. I understood you. And I forgive you. And I wait for you to turn around. Because if I bring you back, I save your soul. And then, Jesus Christ, with his blood, will cover a multitude of your sins. Not me. Jesus will do that. Am I right? That's the gospel. So, verse 16. Avoid godless chatter. Don't talk about worldly stuff. Godless chatter. It won't lead people to Christ. You know why people talk about godless stuff, worldly stuff? Because it's a shame of the word of truth. He didn't want his friend to hate him. First of all, we got to remember that chapter 2, verse 15 is very, very important. Do your very best to present yourself to God as one approved. Because you, our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father God watch over you. He look at you. How you talk to your friend. Are you talking to your friend with godless stuff? Worldly matter? Or you talk to your friend about the word of truth? You understand what I'm telling you? He watch over us. Hey, you honor God by talking about the word of God, the word of truth. Whenever you are in need, you cry out to God. You say, God, do you remember I talked to my friend about you? And now he rebuked me. You take away all my shame and you bless me in front of my friend so that he knows it is you who bless me. You give reason to Jesus to bless you. Jesus will ask you one of these days, when you take the Holy Communion, you remember what the Lord Jesus has done for you, die on the cross for you. Jesus, one of these days, he's going to say to you through the Holy Spirit, say, hey, Adam, what have you done for me? What have you suffered for me, Sally? Danny, what have you suffered for me? Joyce, what have you suffered for me? John, what have you suffered for me? He say, I suffer for you. When I share your word, the congregation walk away from me. And I do your thing. They make me feel ashamed. And I'm not ashamed of your word of truth. You understand what I'm trying to say? And I pray to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You understand? Do you know in the Gospel of John chapter 6, at that time 5,000 people chasing after Jesus, after the 5 loaves and 2 fish? 5,000 is men, not including women and children. And after he hear the message from Jesus saying that you can eat my flesh and drink my blood, oh, they say, your teaching, Jesus' teaching, is against Moses' teaching. We are Moses' disciple. We are not Jesus' disciple anymore. He walk away from Jesus. And Jesus say, what if you see me ascended to heaven? Moses did not ascend to heaven. Moses ascended to the mountain and died there. And God buried him. But Jesus ascended to heaven. What if you see that I ascended to heaven? Will you believe in me? 5,000 people walk away from Jesus. You understand? Because he tell the truth. I want you to remember, when you tell the truth to your friend, your friend walk away from you and hung up your phone and do not listen to your call anymore. You pray for him. Don't give up on him. Don't bear grudges. Don't take revenge. Pray that he turn around. You'll be so joyful when he come to see you and say, Joyce, you are my best friend. And I was so happy when Joyce showed me the transcript. Daddy, this is the transcript, you know. That means when she's willing to show me the transcript, that means she get good mark, right? That means, Daddy, I agree with you. That is a reward. When your friend come to you, say, Etta, you're my best friend. That's a reward. And when you see Jesus Christ face to face, and Jesus Christ gonna say to you, you are my good and faithful servant. And I give a city to you to take charge. Wow, you'll be so happy. You know what? Memorize the promise that God gave it to you. Memorize what the Lord wants you to do. Keep reminding them, but we keep forgetting. When our friends say to you, shut up, then we begin shut up, then we forget everything Jesus said, you know what I mean? Oh, now I remember, I keep doing it. I keep, until you can't tell me to shut up again. You know what I mean? But one of these days you sow the word of truth, that's the seed. And one of these days that seed will grow. Will bear fruit. And you'll be happy of that. Right? Right. Avoid godless chatter. Stop that. Don't talk about anything other than the word of truth. First of all, we need not to be ashamed of the word of truth. Secondly, we got to correctly handle the word of truth. Okay? And then avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. You keep talking about the worldly stuff, then you don't know the word of truth. You understand? The more you teach people about the word of truth, the more you understand God's word. You're helping others, God is helping you. Verse 17. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. You know what a gangrene is like? You punch the hole and the gangrene food come out, wherever you go, become rotten, the flesh. You got to know how to handle the gangrene very carefully. You got to use alcohol. Okay, because the gangrene touch the good skin, that become rotten. That's how bad it is. If we keep talking worldly things, godless things, we become more and more ungodly. When you become more and more ungodly, when you pray to God, God say, "Sally, are you speaking to me?" Then you are in deep trouble, you know what I mean? When you more and more become godly, I want you to write beside ungodly. I want you to write unequal sign. Let me see. James, okay? Chapter 5. James. Chapter 5. Verse 16. When you become more and more godly, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The prayer of a godly man is powerful and effective. If you become more and more ungodly, your prayer becomes powerless and ineffective. You understand what I'm trying to say? It didn't do you any good. Okay? I want you to write beside ungodly, you write an equal sign, James 5:16. Isn't it? Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Okay? Train yourself to be more and more godly instead of train yourself to be more and more ungodly. Go back to right beside more and more. You write down 1 Timothy chapter 4, the latter part of verse 7 and 8. 4, 7 and 8. Right beside more and more. 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. Etta, could you read that? 4, 7, and 8.
Have nothing to do with godless myths and wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come.
What is the present life promise? When you pray to God, your prayer is powerful and effective. What about in the future life to come? God is going to give you city to reign as king. You want your prayer to be powerful and effective, right? So, you got to train yourself to be godly. Have nothing to do with godless myth and old white tale. Have nothing to do with what? Godless chat. Because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. When you become more and more ungodly, the Lord will not listen to your prayer. That won't help you, both now and future. Right? So when you talk to your friend in the phone, don't talk about worldly stuff. Oh, talk about that boy's handsome, that girl is good. Don't talk about that. Okay? Verse 17. their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. These two fellows is bad. Verse 18. Who, these two fellows, have wandered away from the truth. You know what? This fellow need a godly people to lead him back to Jesus. But you got to be very careful because they are like gangrene. You know what I mean? You know what gangrene is like? You touch it, you have rotten skin. They have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place. If the resurrection has already taken place, the saint still on earth? Oh, we are in deep trouble, you know what I mean? They said the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. How come Paul said they destroy the faith of some, not they destroy the faith of all? Because some are rooted, are grounded in the Word of God. They won't be affected by these kind of people. Okay? They said the resurrection has already taken place. In other words, you won't be resurrected. No. When Jesus Christ comes back, each and every one of us will be resurrected. Right beside resurrection, you write down Gospel of John 5:29. Each and every one of us will be resurrected. I don't care whether you believe in Jesus or you don't believe in Jesus. Those who have done good to those who believe in Jesus, those who love one another, those who believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, when He resurrected, what happened? He will leave. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Could you read it? 5:29, Gospel of John. Starting 28.
Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned.
In other words, whether you have done good or you've done evil, you will rise. Some rise to live, some rise to be condemned, to be judged, to go to hell. And some people, these two fellows, he said, the resurrection has already taken place. No more resurrection. So he destroyed the faith of some. But not all. Because we know, in Gospel of John chapter 5 verse 29, those who have done, when Jesus Christ come out, when Jesus Christ come back the second time, He will call out with a loud voice, say, John M, come up. Sally, come up. Daniel, come up. Ellis, come up. Joyce, come up. And we recognize His voice because we are His sheep. And those who come up, each and every one of us will be resurrected. Some resurrected to live, some resurrected to be condemned. It depends. What have you done now? Make sure that we don't share in the guilt of your friend. Don't ever say to Jesus, say, am I my friend's keeper? Yes, you are. Am I my brother keeper? Yes, you are. Am I my sister keeper? Yes, you are. If your sins, your kinsman, your neighbor, your friends, sins against God and wander away from the truth, you know that he's heading to hell, and you not reach out your hand and bring him to Jesus, you can share in his guilt. You understand what I'm trying to say? Could you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 17. I don't want to share in this guilt. Once I know the gospel, I got to share the gospel. Woe to me if I don't share the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 to 17. Could you read that?
Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me.
God trusted the word of truth in you and expect you to discharge your duty. Your job is to share the gospel because you know the truth. I cannot say to God, say, oh, am I my brother keeper? I don't know that I have to do it. No, I can't say that. I know it is my job. Do you remember what Paul saying to Timothy? Chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy. And the things that you have heard me saying in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. You can't say to yourself, I don't know that. Because Paul has already told Timothy the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others. Carry the baton and pass it on to the other people. Before I pass away, I want to carry on. I want the church to be continued to share the gospel. I pass the baton to you. I entrust the word of God to you. I count you to be a reliable man. Because I teach you the word of God. You know the word of God. You know it now, right? You know how to handle the word of God correctly. You know what it really means by love, cover a multitude of sins. You know what it really means. Not the superficial meaning, the deep meaning, the spiritual meaning. And you should teach the other people the same thing. These two pharaohs wandered away from the truth. These two pharaohs said the resurrection has already taken place. That means there's no more resurrection. And they destroyed the faith of some. 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stand firm. These two fellow cannot destroy. How do I know? I want you to write down Matthew chapter 16. How do I know? I know. Because I remember God's word. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 16. 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock, what is this rock? I want you to write down, on this rock is the God solid foundation. Right beside God solid foundation, I want you to write down Matthew 16:18. On this God's solid foundation, I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. I know these two fellows wander away from the truth and have said the resurrection had already taken place. They destroyed the faith of some, but they do not destroy the faith of all. Because some do not have the word of God within their heart. But the rest of the people have the word of God within their heart. You cannot destroy my faith. Because God promised us that what? Upon this rock, upon this solid foundation, is God's foundation, that is Jesus Christ, I will build my church on the word of God, on the word of Jesus Christ, on the word of truth. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. So that's why he can only destroy the faith of some. He cannot destroy the faith of all. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stand firm. Sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. Who are his? when we have the Word of God hidden within our heart. We won't be destroyed by this kind of fellow, by these two fellowmen, okay? Because we are built up by the Word of God. The Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. What does it mean by everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness? You know what? The moment when I turn away from wickedness, I know who is telling the truth. Whether Hymenaeus, Philetus telling the truth, or Jesus telling the truth, or Paul telling the truth, I know Jesus and Paul telling the truth. These two fellows tell lie. How do I know? I want you to write it down. Must turn away from wickedness. I want you to write it down. John 7:17. John chapter 7 verse 17. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. If we make a decision, if we choose to do God's will, if we choose to turn away from wickedness, God wants us to turn away from wickedness. If we choose to follow Jesus, you will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether my teaching comes from my own. When you make a decision to follow Jesus, when you make a decision to study God's word, you know these two fellows tell lies. You understand? You won't be destroyed by His word. Not only that, you won't be destroyed by Him, you can help Him to turn around and to be saved. You understand? So that's why within the church, some people tell the lie. These two fellows are within the church. Otherwise, why would Paul know these two fellows? Because they said, the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroyed the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. Sealed with this inscription, there's two statements in this solid foundation. First statement, the Lord knows those who are His. Secondly, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord Jesus must turn away from wickedness. I want you also write down in the second part, write down 1 John chapter 3 verse 23. You know what is God's command to us? First, to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. Secondly, and to love one another as He commanded us. To love one another, is the same as turn away from wickedness, right? The first part is to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ is same as to confess the name of the Lord. If you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah, and yet you keep sinning against God, yet you don't love your brother, you don't turn away your brother from sin, you don't rebuke him, you deny your faith, you're not confessing Jesus is Lord. Because when Jesus claimed that He is the Lord, that's how He saved us. He tells us in front of our faith, you're wrong, you're a sinner, you got to turn around. If you confess Jesus is the Son of God, is the Messiah, and yet you do not love your brother as yourself, How do I love my brother? How do I love my neighbor? I will build him friendly. I bring him back to Jesus. Right? I follow his footsteps. Why would Jesus die on the cross? He suffered so much to save us. You think Jesus only loves Sally and save you? Do not love your friend? He loved your friend too. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, on the one hand, we confess the name of the Lord. On the other hand, we must turn away from wickedness. According to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. But what about according to 1 John chapter 3, verse 23? Talk about the same thing. The first part is to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Same as to confess the name of the Lord. Same thing. What's the second part? To love one another. To love one another, that means turn away from wickedness. Turn away from wickedness means follow God's command to love one another. Right? Actually, the Bible, Paul saying the same thing as John saying, but using different wording to do the same thing. You understand what I'm trying to say? So, Edda, do you agree with me? Do you see what I see? To love one another, that means we turn away from wickedness. The moment we turn away from wickedness, we start to love one another. Because we used to do wicked things. When do I stop doing wicked things? The moment I confess Jesus is the Lord. The moment I believe the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, I got to stop turning away from wicked things and start loving one another. So I want to stop here. I want you to ponder. I want you to write down chapter 2, 19, right beside 1 John chapter 3. Verse 23. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. You write down 2 Timothy 2, 19. 2:19. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. That is God's command. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son Jesus Christ. That means to believe in the name of the Lord. The Lord is God's Son, Jesus Christ. Right? And to love one another as He commanded us, He commanded us to turn away from wickedness. The moment we turn away from wickedness, we turn towards God, is to love one another. Just like how Jesus loved us. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that every time when we study Your Word, You help Your servant to correctly handle the Word of Truth and help him not to be ashamed of the Word of Truth and correctly handle it so that Your children, like the sheep of the Good Shepherd, and can recognize Your voice, knowing that this is what You require us to do. And help us to remember that the Lord knows those who are His, and the Lord, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord Jesus must turn away from wickedness. And help us to remember that, impress upon our heart, because You have already inscribed it on that solid foundation. Everyone can see that. And now that I pray this very word, not only inscribed on God's solid foundation. And that solid foundation stand firm, sealed with this inscription. And I pray that you help these two statements, the Lord knows those who are His, impressed upon our heart. And secondly, everyone who confesses the name of Lord Jesus must turn away from wickedness upon, inscribed upon our heart too. And I pray all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I forget to mention one thing. The Lord knows those who are His. I want you to write down, if you remember right, if I remember right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 3. But the man who loved God is known by God. If you love God, God knows you. God knows you. Same as the Bible says, the Lord knows those who are His. Who are His? We belong to God. Of course we love God. I want you to write beside 2:19, the Lord knows those who are His. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3. Chapter 8, verse 3, I want you to write down 2:19, 2 Timothy. The man who loves God is known by God. The Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows those who love Him. Okay? Oh, wow, that's good. You know what? I memorized these Bible verses a long time. But when I see the word knows, I remember that. I click in. You got to learn that, right? Follow the first step. The more Bible verses you memorize, the more the Holy Spirit will remind you how to interpret it. The Lord knows those who are His. You love God, it's known by God. Okay? Good. God bless you.